Morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Lamed Gimel, the 33rd chapter in Sefer Yechezkel. To me, this is one of the most remarkable prokim in Sefer Yechezkel and could actually serve in a certain way as an introduction to Sefer Yechezkel, meaning to say it would be very helpful to actually learn Perek Lamed Gimel before even learning the rest of Yechezkel, because it puts a lot of things into context as to his mission and as to the history of the times. Moreover, it is also a turning point in the Sefer. Remember that there are 3/4 large sections of Sefer Yechezkel. We learned from Aleph to Chof Dalad or before the destruction. Then Chof Hei to Lamed Beis, which we just completed, are the Nevuah outwards to the nations, which are a little harder to connect with. It's about the surrounding nations of Israel. And from now onwards is going to actually be the turning point to the Nevuah of Nechama, of consolation. The reason is because our Perek contains the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And from here on inwards, Yechezkel is going to be talking about either consolation or the future redemption. So it's a very important place in this Sefer, and it contextualizes most of the rest of the Sefer. So let's look at it. We're going to look at 3 or perhaps 4 sections of this Perek. The first section runs from Pasuk Aleph to Tes, the first 9 Psukim, and it's about the watchman. This is a very, very famous idea which Yechezkel is dealing with. He is actually dealing with a philosophical dilemma, and this is a dilemma which is asked by all the Balei Machshava, all the Jewish philosophers throughout the centuries, and that is the following. How do we put two values in the same place, on the same spectrum? How can you have it that there's what's called gezeira, Hashem wants something to happen in the world, and bechira, that human beings have free will? Meaning to say, let's set up a very simple example. Let's say you have somebody who decides to hurt another person, or Rachman al-Islam, make it more extreme, to kill the other person. If the perpetrator, the murderer, had not pulled the trigger, would the victim have died? Well, we say if we believe that that murderer had free choice, then yes, they had the free will to exercise their choice. And if they decided not to, the person would be alive. And if they did, and they chose to pull that trigger, the person is now dead. But what was Hashem's gzeira? What did Hashem want? Did Hashem want the victim to live or not to live? Very difficult. This is not so much as Yedia and Bechira, which is omniscience and free will. This is about divine providence and free will. Hashem wants something to happen, and where is our free will existing in that? So Yechezkel gives the following example. This is the example that he is told by Hashem, that you have a watchman who's looking after a city. And let's say there is his job is to sound the alarm, to blow the horn, if there is going to be any enemy attacking. So he gives 2 scenarios. Let's say he sees the Cherev Bar and he blows, and people hear that they prepare themselves for the war, but let's say they don't take heed of it, and they get hurt because they don't take heed of the warning. Well, they bear their responsibility, but the watchman himself is not responsible. But Hatzofeki Yires Acherev Ba'a. Let's say the watchman sees the sword coming. And the people aren't aware. And the sword comes. There is a fatality in the raid. They were not warned about it because the watchman was sleeping or was busy looking through his news app. What's going to happen is the person who died in their own sin, their own cheshbon with Hashem, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will search out the blood from the watchman who is irresponsible. Which means, in the words of Rav Sadia Gaon in Emunas HaDeos Imam Ardalad, he says, very simply, is that when it comes to murder, this is the way he says it, Ki amaves ma'ase Hashem, death is in the hands of God, v'aretzach ma'ase Rasha, but murder is in the hands of the murderer. We take responsibility for our actions, even if the outcomes perhaps are divinely inspired or decreed. And Hashem says, Yechezkel, you are the watchman. The people perhaps deserve to die, but should you not warn them, should you not blow the siren and tell them that it's coming, you will be culpable because you are responsible to say something. Therefore, you need to say something, and that's perhaps one of the actual missions of Yechezkel. This is the first section in the Perek. Very powerful, requires a lot of thinking and digesting to appreciate this model. Let's go to the next section. The next section is from Pasuk Yud to Chof, and this section over here is talking about a claim that the people make, which is giving up hope. They say to Yechezkel, Ki posheinu, psho'einu v'chatoseinu oleinu, our sins are upon us, uvom anachnu nimakim, we are going to sink into them, V'eich nichya, how could we live? So Yechezkel responds and expands upon this. Do Hashem says, do I want the Rosha to die? Ki b'shuv Rosha b'darko v'choya. I want him to live. I want him to do teshuva. Shuvu midarchechem aroyim. Lama tomusu basis. So why do you want? Why do you die? What are they saying? The Chida in his Pirush called Chomas Anach and Tanach says, what's going on over here is they feel that in order to make a real change in themselves, there needs to be such a dramatic, such a cold turkey experience that they will actually die in the shock of the change that they're going to have to do. And they said that we can't survive such a violent and immediate change. And it has to be incremental. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds by saying, yes, it can be incremental. I want you, every increment, every little bit you make yourself better, every Rosh Hashanah, every little bit, I want that. Whereas the Rambam says that, no, that they said that really, if you look carefully into the words over here, there's two concerns they have. Concern number one is, they've rebelled against the king. They embarrassed the king. There is a punishment for that. They didn't listen to the doctor. The doctor says, don't do this. Don't eat those foods. Don't take that substance. And they didn't listen. There's consequences. It doesn't make a difference how much you regret. It doesn't make a difference what you say afterwards. You disobeyed the king. You didn't listen to the doctor. There's a punishment and there's a consequence. They don't believe that the faculty of teshuva is going to be capable under these situations. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sorry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to live. Even when there's consequences, even when there's punishment, there's still some way to mitigate that experience. Do something. What you see over here is that they're sinking into a hole of hopelessness. As the destruction is more imminent in this perek, they are realizing that they are in fact doomed. And the problem was, they're oscillating from the far extremes. On the one hand, they believe before the destruction, everything is fine, nothing could go wrong. Once the destruction is about to happen and happens, and they say, we're completely doomed. Yechezkel says, it's not either or, there's a lot of in between you can change. In fact, this is what Yechezkel says over here, the Psukim he quotes is, the righteousness of the tzaddik won't save him on the day of his iniquity. And the evil of the bad, of the evildoer, will not trip him up on the day that he does teshuvah. What does this mean? And Mitzudas points out that this is very simple, is that it's not about your past. It could have been you lived a rotten life, but if you do teshuvah now, that's fine. And also the other way around. You could have lived a fantastic life, but if you start sinning now, it's too bad. You'd live with the sins. It's not like an accounting table, and we match these numbers against these numbers, and everything neutralizes. No, it's about what you're doing now. That's what matters. So do something now. Change now. It doesn't make a difference about the weight of the past. The next section of the perek is from Pasuk Chof Aleph to Chof Tes, and in this section, the refugee arrives from Yerushalayim. He comes northwards to Babylon. And he says, Hukasa Ha'ir, the city has been conquered. In two words, the greatest calamity in Jewish history up to this point occurs. And also worthwhile noticing the lack of emotion when this is being described. It's very simply factual, which is being described over here. This is the greatest travesty and tragedy, but nonetheless it's being described in these terms. And this point, Yechezkel is told, Vayiposach pi v'loyle lamti oid, my mouth is opened and I will no longer be silent, says Yechezkel. And then he goes on to say that he talks to the many people who are sitting around there, and these people are making the following claim. The people around the land say, Abraham was only one person and he got the land. We are many, we should get the land. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh boy, you keep serving Avodah Zarah, you keep spilling innocent blood, you keep living immoral relationships. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm wiping you out, I'm removing all of you from that land, and you will know when your land is desolate that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's going on over here? What does it mean that he's no longer mute? So the Sort of says, up till now people being, you know, Yechezkel, yes, it sounds interesting, but you know, you can put down the signs about the end is nigh. Well, at this point in time, Yechezkel is vindicated, says the Mitzvah. When you see it actually happening, there's no way, two ways about it. That's what seems to be happening over here. The Malbim says it's more than that. Fascinating. The Malbim says that Yechezkel's mission hasn't really fully started up till now. Yes, he's been talking to the nations. Yes, he's been warning from Babylon, sending epistles and letters and, you know, to the people in Israel. But ultimately, the due restriction of Yirmiyahu has been up till now. Change! at the very brink of the siege, he said to Tzidkiyahu, Yirmiyahu says, walk out of the city, go fly the white flag, go make peace, give over the city and it won't be destroyed. Go submit to Bavel. Tzidkiyahu did not have it in him to do that. He couldn't. He couldn't go against the lords and the barons of Jerusalem. He was not able to. But that was Yirmiyahu's jurisdiction. When the city fell, that was the end. Even though Yirmiyahu does play a small role in trying to convince those after the murder of Gedaliah not to go down to Egypt, nonetheless, the jurisdiction is shifted. Now Yechezkel becomes the prominent Navi. He's going to be the one talking about the future, the hope, the opportunity, and the Mashiach, which could possibly come. So the Malbim views this as a seismic shift in the power of Nevuah, which is occurring in this pasuk over here. And what is the misconception these people are saying about Avram Avinu and the land and the whole business? So the Malbim says is that there were people who remained in the fields, like at the times after where Gedaliah was there. They thought, you know what, okay, the people of Yerushalayim got taken away, but we can resettle the land. Hashem says, you're still carrying on the same messed up and bankrupt lifestyle. It's not going to help you. You're going to get completely wiped out. The sin is closing the land. In fact, the Gemara, the Radak quotes Chazal, that quotes Rabbi Akiva, and says, Kach amru, ma avram shaloi ovad elo eloi ka echad, yorash es ha'oretz, anachnu shalo ovdim elo ku, sahar harbe al achas kamo kamo. Avram served one God, we served many gods, surely we should have more of a chance of inheriting the land. And he says, sorry, it doesn't work like that. And the other time, says Rabbi Shimon, says Rabbi Shimon Vayachai, says, ma avram shaloi nitztavo elo, al mitzos echid, you know, Avram Avinu only had one or two mitzvahs. We had so many, surely we should inherit the land. And Hashem says, sorry, it's not a numbers game. Finally, last section, the parak last, really it's this, the last three, Pesukim, Lamed Tel, Lamed Gimel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes where you're going to hear people who are going to say to you, they're going to laugh at you, Yechezkel. They've been scoffing at the bar. They say, hey, you know what the prophet said today? You know what Sani was holding at the retreat at the subway station today? And the people are going to, you know, comment on you. Aha, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the last pasuk. And when it comes, when everything you said comes, then they'll know that the Navi was there. They'll know that the watchman was blowing the horn. They'll know that the raid was about to really, really, really happen. And they were too ignorant, too willfully ignorant to notice what is happening. This is Yechezkel's mission. This is what he's supposed to be doing. And this is his vindication in a very sad but truthful way. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.